Hi there, and welcome to the School Podcast, Episode 2.
Today, we are brought with Ms. Dassey to speak about her experience about what does it mean to be Palestinian.
We hope you enjoy listening to it as much as we enjoy recording it.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So, we just want to ask, obviously this podcast is about what does it mean to be Palestinian, mm-hmm. And I thought we just started off with whereabouts in Palestine are you and your family from?
Well, my dad's from Lod, but in 1948, during the first Nakba, they became refugees in Gaza, and my mum is from Gaza.
Okay.
So both of my parents' families are now currently in Gaza.
Now, you live and work outside of Palestine, in Kuwait. Mm. How do you feel about living and working as an expat outside of your home country?
Unfortunately, I never had the privilege of living in Palestine. Just phone calls home, and I'm now currently working in Kuwait, where my homeland is Canada. But I feel privileged to work in Kuwait, in a country where I have the freedom to express my connections to Palestine and not be afraid of losing my job or not be afraid of what others will think of me, and to have the support of a country that very much willingly supports Palestine. It's actually freeing.
That's really nice to hear.
I just want to say that obviously you didn't live in Palestine. How did your family and yourself keep that connection?
Well, our home back home, it's like little Palestine. Like the second you step foot into my house, there's this huge map of Palestine hanging that's been embroidered by hand.
Wow.
There's an olive tree inside our house. My dad's always like planting random things, like, you know, these oranges are from Palestine. We have to plant them. And so it was always, growing up, it was always about like, oh, we're going to eat this specific food because that's what we would eat in Palestine. Mornings were always za'atar. Every morning we would have za'atar, mana'ish. Everything was connected to Palestine. Like our cuisine, our language, the way we speak, it's very much the Palestinian dialect. So my parents nurtured that in us, and it was always phone calls home every weekend to grandparents and to family members. And of course, always talking to them and finding about all the history and through my parents and through the connections through family.
Honestly, what's one pivotal story that your parents told you when this is why I want to be represented as Palestinian, this is what it means to me?
To be the voice for my cousins that didn't get the opportunities that I got. For instance, I have a cousin who wanted to go abroad and study, but he couldn't leave Palestine. He didn't have the right passport. He couldn't get the right visa. And he's a genius, absolute genius. Where I had the opportunity to get an education wherever I wanted, and it hit home so hard. And my parents were like, speak for the people that can't speak. Show, demonstrate to the people that won't listen, maybe in the hopes that one day someone will listen. And that was one story, the fact that I had the opportunity to go wherever I wanted. I was like a free bird because I had the right passport. Whereas my cousins, same blood, same background, couldn't.
That's honestly very sad.
Yeah.
There's some of us that get opportunities, but others that are just left behind.
Exactly.
But the best thing we can do is exactly what you're doing, acting as a voice for those people who don't have one.
Exactly. I try.
I think you do more than just try. The way that you just represent your country is powerful. It's just, there's so much love and passion towards it. It's just, you're a teacher without exactly expressing what it means to be Palestinian. Do you get what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think it's as an educator too, your job is to educate the world and educate everyone to the best of your ability, not to be biased towards one side or the other. Just, I love it when I have international students in front of me, because I had the privilege of growing up in Canada with international students. At the same time, I had the privilege of having deep roots into Palestine, being home and having my parents who speak with very heavy Arabic accents. And it was just that, having the experience of being so multicultural, yet so deep-rooted in Palestine, and having the privilege to be able to express my love for Palestine through my family and through how I grew up, and to actually have people wanting to listen and wanting to realize what is Palestine, where is it, having people willingly wanting to actually stand for Palestine. It's just wonderful. It really was wonderful. And it's amazing that you guys have actually thought of doing this. Like, I feel privileged that you guys are interviewing me right now, honestly.
I don't know, maybe for me personally, like growing up in Australia, you don't hear much about Palestine, let alone the Middle East.
Yeah.
And I just feel, again, maybe it's a bit more of a personal thing, but just kind of understanding like the root of everything and going back. And I think everyone has such beautiful stories that they need to be told. And I think, like, especially Palestine, the culture, like, you guys could be anywhere in the world, and your passion and your culture just, it doesn't waver at all.
Thank you.
So just kind of seeing, like, where that comes from and why.
I think because, like, growing up, my dad was too scared to ever take us back to Palestine. He was so petrified, so he turned our home into Little Palestine. And it was always the fear of going back, like, what would happen? You have Palestinian names. And a few years back, I took my own children to Palestine, and it was very difficult. And we were trying to get into Jerusalem, and we were stopped at the border. And of course, people that weren't originally Palestinian were more than welcome to go through, whereas we had to wait for hours and prove why we would never go to Gaza, and we had to, like, vow about how we had no connection to the land. And it was heartbreaking because everything I grew up knowing and learning and talking to my parents about wasn't allowed to be expressed. So that made me even more determined to talk to people about Palestine, talk to people about my ancestry, talk to people about how beautiful Palestine is, the people of Palestine, how educated they are. For instance, like in Gaza, it has the highest capita of educated people per square meter in the world.
Wow.
So to have so much education and love for their children and love for family, these values were instilled in me as a Palestinian from a very young age. My dream is to pass it on to others and to my own children, I hope.
I think we can say that. Just having that belief inside you and even putting that effort makes so much of a difference.
Oh yeah. My dad, you know how you always say, like, you can take, well, I'll say it, you can take the Palestinian out of Palestine, but you can't take Palestine out of the Palestinian?
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally.
What was it like being in Palestine after hearing all these stories, your whole childhood, being there on the land?
I couldn't, like, I called my dad when I was in Jerusalem, and I told him, Dad, I feel like my roots are so steeped into this land, I don't know how I'm gonna go home.
What?
I don't know how I'm gonna go home. And then he's like, listen to what you've just said. Your roots are so steeped into this land, you don't know how you're gonna go home. He's like, you know that home isn't here. And that's what it broke his heart. He's like, you just told me that you know your roots are so steep, but you've gotta leave it to go to another place that's home. And it was so hard to leave, I'll be honest. It was beautiful listening to, like, the streets, the Arabic in the streets, the Hebrew. And it was so nice to hear the church bells, to hear the call to prayer. It's just this wonderful, amazing place that unites so many faiths, so many backgrounds, so many amazing people. It's Palestine. It really is. It's this central force that really connects everyone to everyone else.
That's an amazing way of putting it.
Yeah, I'm like speechless. The goosebumps on the way you're such a natural storyteller.
You have such a passion when you talk about Palestine.
Oh.
It's beautiful to hear.
It's, I'll be honest, every time I see an elderly woman in Palestine, I'm like, that's my grandma. I can't help it. Even when we were when we were in Al-Aqsa, I remember because my kids were running around and there were these gorgeous older women just sitting down. Mm-hmm. And every time I sat or saw one, an older woman, I just sat next to her and we shared stories. And she would treat me like her daughter and I would look at her as if she was my own grandma. It's this connection that... the love for each other.
I don't feel like you find that hardly anywhere. Just strangers connecting.
Honestly.
Just for their love for one thing.
Honestly, like, it was so nice when we were there, because whenever we see people, they'd start to talk to us and be like, oh, but you're Palestinian, but you never lived in Palestine. We're like, yeah. And they're like, how do you speak like us? I'm like, well, my parents. Mm-hmm. They're like, that is the most important thing. And they kept telling us, please teach your children about us. Please don't let people forget about us. And it was heartbreaking to hear the people of Palestine tell you, please don't forget about us.
I don't think anyone, especially...
Yeah. With people like you in the world, they will never forget those people of Palestine.
Thank you, guys.
I think amongst everything that's happening, just like those little stories, they just give me that hope.
Yeah.
It's just so... I think hope is one of the most important things that anyone could have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's the thing that's, honestly, it's the only thing that's driving Palestinians right now. The hope that one day they'll be able to freely call their home their very own home.
Yeah.
Inshallah. One
Inshallah.
Day.
Inshallah. Say that. Mm-hmm. If there was one key thing from being Palestinian that you apply to everyday life that you wish more people took into consideration, what would it be?
Honestly, love for your land, love for your people, love for your children, love for your future. It's not about, with Palestinians sometimes, it's not about the now. They're always planting seeds for the future, the children of the land. That's why there's such love for Palestinian trees. Like, Palestinian trees are hundreds of years old.
Yeah.
We die. But these trees are for the generations to come. And it's love for the future that doesn't look so bright sometimes, but to actually love it and have hope that it will be what you dream it should be.
That's, again, we're both speechless. That's such a beautiful way of putting it.
I think we get so caught up in what's happening now,
yeah,
that we forget that a future is more than possible.
Exactly.
And a good future at that.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's just hoping for the best.
Always, always hoping for the best. Always. And that's what drives many Palestinians amongst everything that's happening. The hope that it will be better one day. It is a promise. It is a promise to our children. It is a promise from a higher being that it will be better, but we have to be patient. And we have to be strong and steadfast. And we have to keep fighting for what we know is right.
Yeah.
And our belief and love for the land.
What would you say to not just young Palestinians, but anyone in the world? What would your advice be to keep going for Palestine?
Keep talking about Palestine. Don't forget about Palestine. Keep looking at your social media. Look at the young faces. Look at the children. Look at the people. Look at the women. Read about the scholars of Palestine. Read about the inventions of Palestine. For instance, gauze was actually invented in Gaza. And during World War II, the biggest manufacturers of gauze were the Gazans.
Seriously? Wow.
So it's things like that the world doesn't know about, that everyone needs to learn about. The simplest of facts. Talk about Palestine. Teach your children about Palestine. Teach the world about Palestine.
Would you like to finish off with the poem that you told us earlier about?
Yes. I am you. Two steps, one, two. Look in the mirror. The horror, the horror. The butt of your M16 on my cheekbone. The yellow patch it left. The bullet-shaped scar expanding. Like a swastika snaking across my face, the heartache flowing out of my eyes, dripping out of my nostrils, piercing, my ears flooding the place, like it did to you 70 years ago or so. I am just you. I am your past haunting your present and your future. I strive like you did. I fight like you did. I resist like you resisted. And for a moment, I take your tenacity as a model. Were you not holding the barrel of the gun between my bleeding eyes? One, two, the very same gun, the very same bullet that had killed your mom and killed your dad is being used against me by you. Mark this bullet and mark in your gun. If you sniff it, it has your and my blood. It has my present and your past. It has my present, it has your future. That's why we are twins, same life track, same weapon, same suffering, same facial expressions drawn on the face of the killer, same everything, except that in your case, the victim has evolved backward into a victimizer. I tell you, I am you. Except that I'm not the you of now. I do not hate you. I want to help you stop hating and killing me. I tell you, the noise of your machine gun renders you deaf. The smell of the powder beats that of my blood. The sparks disfigure my facial expressions. Would you stop shooting for a moment, would you? All you have to do is close your eyes. Seeing these days blinds our hearts. Close your eyes tightly so that you can see in your mind's eye. Then look into the mirror. 1, 2. I am you. I am your past. And killing me, you kill you.
That was a beautiful poem. Thank you for reading that.
You're welcome. Don't close your eyes. God rest his soul. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you for being an amazing guest.
Oh, thank you, guys. And thank you guys for doing this. The podcast is fantastic. I loved listening to Dr. Rahman's podcast last time. I loved it.
Go ahead. Oh, no, I was just like, really? Because, I don't know, I always want to, like, talk to other people, and everyone has their own stories, but everyone is not, people don't share it with each other. And this is why I like doing the podcast.
Exactly. Everyone who listened to the last podcast and from this podcast definitely gains a lot from it. That is amazing.
And it's lovely. It's young people doing it for young people. Honestly, guys, bless you guys. That's what's so nice about it.
Yeah.
It's not older people lecturing. It's this cute young generation fighting and making people listen. It's fantastic.
I think we just told a couple of people that we're doing this podcast, and we've already got a couple of kids coming up to us about
come up to me and say, Aaron, and what you do with me on the podcast is amazing. I listened to the last episode. It was amazing.
And just, I told people, like, we're doing What Does It Mean to Be Palestinian? And I've already got people coming up to me. What does it mean for them to be Palestinian? And they haven't even heard the episode yet. It's just them sharing their stories about their family. It's just, I don't know, little things like that, you just...
Yeah.
Brings people together, which I think we need at the moment.
Exactly. Thank you, guys. And bless you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing this for us, genuinely. Yeah, I was so excited when you said yes. I was like, yes.
When Mr. Smith told me, I'm like, do they realize that I've never lived in Palestine? And he made me laugh. He's like, well, because of everything you do and the way you look, and they're like, he's like, I'm pretty sure they'll you elude the fact that you're Palestinian. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No, like, because, like, you talked to my mom about it.
Yeah.
And, like, the way, like, my mom just reiterated what you said was, like, I got goosebumps from hearing that. And that wasn't from you directly.
Yeah.
I was just, you just got such a storytelling voice. And the way,
yeah.
You know, you can feel the passion. But generally, you can feel the passion. And I feel like not maybe you were passionate about many things.
Exactly.
Anymore.
It's, unfortunately, you're right. I do find, even when I'm teaching, it's so hard to get people into something that they enjoy. Like, people don't even know what they like anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They just go day by day, not actually concentrating on what they really love, or it's what everyone's doing, so I'm going to do it. So see young people actually listening and trying to get people to listen.
Yeah.
Well done, guys. Well done.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you. Genuinely, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Amazing.
Have a great day.